Now, I want to tell you a story that happened to me about this time 2 years ago. So I was pregnant with Grace, probably about 5 or 6 months pregnant with Grace. And I just seem to remember about the pregnancy with Grace just seemed that much harder. Everything about Grace is that much harder. And it might have been because I was running after a 2.5-year-old as well. But I just remember being on this one particular day absolutely exhausted. And I put Michael down for his afternoon nap. And let me tell you, they were the days. Putting Michael down for his nap. And I went to the lounge room and I just collapsed on the couch. And I was exhausted. And I took my phone out and put it next to me. And I, for the last time that I can recall, had a nana nap. I don't remember it. 2 years ago, around about this time of year, I had a nana nap and that was it. I look forward to the next nana nap. And as I was drifting off, I remember a couple of text messages came through and I just thought, I'm not going to look at them. This is more important. And I had a bit of a sleep. And then I was kind of woken to a few more text messages hitting my phone. And I thought, I'm not usually this popular. I don't usually get this many text messages at once. So I thought, I better look at this. And I picked up my phone, bleary-eyed, looking at the screen. And the first one was from the Vic Emergency app. Fire in your watch zone. That was about an hour ago. And then I look at the next text message, my sister-in-law, Josh's sister, saying, are you okay? The fire's really close to you. And at this point, I'm, what? And then the next few messages were from the Vic Emergency app saying, evacuate. Immediate danger, evacuate. And I just leapt up. I didn't even want to waste any time looking at where this fire was. I just got Michael out of bed. I put him in the car. And from the car, I rang Josh and I said, where is this fire that I have to evacuate from? And Josh said, what are you talking about? What fire? I said, the fire that I have to evacuate from. And Josh was very quick, got on the computer and was able to tell me, the fire's really close, but the wind's in your favour. The wind is, it's going the opposite direction. Unless the wind change, which it isn't predicted to, you will be fine. But I learned a valuable lesson that day. What happens when you're unprepared? When you're careless? When I was literally asleep. And it wasn't like I didn't have much warning on that day. The day before, you'll know if you have the Vic Emergency app, it sent me a text message to say, total fire ban day, extreme weather conditions, be careful. And then on the actual day, that they send me another text message to say that, extreme weather warning, dangerous winds, dry condition. And during the fire, I got text messages to tell me about the immediate danger that I was in. But the problem was, I didn't pay attention to the signs. I was unprepared. I went about living my life in my normal everyday life. And I was careless, unprepared. And it could have ended in disaster. Thankfully, it didn't. But so often, people in those situations, it does end in disaster because they are not prepared. Despite the signs, they're not prepared. And there's some of the themes that we're going to be looking at today as we look through at Israel in the tribulation period and what happens to people that don't take the warnings, that are careless, unprepared, unrepentant. What will happen to them? This passage of scripture is known in the Synoptic Gospels as the Olivet Discourse. We find it in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, and it's extensively dealt with there. We find it in Mark 13, and it's in two sections in Luke. It's predominantly in Luke 21, but then a small passage of scripture Luke plucks out from the Olivet Discourses and puts it in Luke 17. And it's in Luke 17 that we are going to study the scripture. So if you want to go to Luke 17, now I'm going to say, this is a small passage of scripture of a large theme that Jesus addressed about future events, about Israel in the tribulation time. things yet to come. We are not going to walk away Bible scholars at the end of this, because if we were to tackle it all, you would be frustrated and confused afterwards. You know, prophetic scripture doesn't just butt up to each other. You can't just take it in isolation, it intertwines. We would need to understand Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Revelation, parts of Isaiah and Jeremiah. So we're just going to look at this passage of scripture in Luke 17, verse 22 through to 37. And before we start, I want to be very, very clear. This is about Israel during the tribulation period. Any desire you have to want to put the church in this passage, don't. The church has been raptured at this point. The church has been raptured. They've been caught up to meet Jesus in the sky. And this is the 7-year period dealing with Israel. And this is what Jesus says. He's talking to his Jewish audience. He's talking to his disciples. The church doesn't exist for another 50 days. Sorry. And he says this in verse 2. And he said to his disciples, the days will come where you will long to see the one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. The days will come. What days are we talking about? We're talking about that 7-year tribulation period that will happen after the rapture of the church. We can find the teaching on that in Daniel 9. It's during those tribulation periods after the rapture of the church. And he says that they will long to see the Son of Man. They will long to see their Messiah, their deliverer. This is Israel he's talking about. And they won't see it. And why won't they see the Messiah? Because many of them will die. Many, many, many Jews will die in this time. To be Jewish will put a target on your back. Many Jews will die. I'm not just talking about the 11 million that live in the slither of country land that is known as Israel. I'm talking worldwide Jews will die. And in fact, anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord in this time will die. This time is characterized by intense Jewish persecution. Now, the Jews aren't strangers to persecution. We just have to look through their history, and they're probably the most persecuted race to ever live. We go and pick up the Bible and reread Exodus, and they were slaves in Egypt. But God redeemed them out of Egypt. He gave them the promised land, but then they were disobedient. They worshipped other gods. They turned to apostasy. And God used the Gentile nations to chastise them. And Israel has entered into a period of Gentile oppression. It's known as the times of the Gentiles. And we've seen that. They were taken out of Israel into Babylon. They were under the Babylonian Empire. They've been under the Persian Empire, the Greek and the Roman Empire. And in this period of time, they will be under a new oppressor. And we know him as the Antichrist. Antichrist. He's literally Antichrist. He's known as the lawless one. He is Satan's agent, and he will cause the world in this period of 7 years to hate Israel, to hate God, and to worship him. He will first start off as a friend to the Jewish people. At the start of the tribulation period, he will make a covenant with Israel, Daniel 9:27. He'll make a covenant with Israel. And then at the midway point, he will stand in their temple and declare himself to be God. And it's at that point Israel must flee and just stay in hiding, because to come out will result in their death. This time is characterized by Jewish persecution. And in verse 23, Jesus tells his disciples, they will say to you, the people will say to you, look there, look here, do not go away and do not run after them. Jesus is talking about those that will claim to be false prophets, to say, there's the Messiah, go to him, your deliverer is here. Or there'll be people that will claim to be the Messiah, and he says, don't go after them. You don't need to doubt when I come, because when I come, this is what it's going to look like. In verse 24, He says, just as like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky and shines in the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in that day. When he comes, everyone will know about it. It's not going to be like his first advent that was kind of pushed into the back country of Bethlehem, where only the social rejects saw it. But when the second advent, when he comes to deliver Israel, everyone will see it. You know, there's a word that's been thrown around the last 12 months that I really hate. It's the word pandemic. I hate that word pandemic. If I could go a day without reading about a pandemic or hearing the word pandemic, I would be happy. But you know, there's one pandemic that I can get on board, and it's this pandemic. A pandemic is a worldwide known spread event. When Jesus comes, everyone will see him come, no matter what time of day, where you are. And what is it about this pandemic that will draw everyone to see him? The answer is in Matthew 16, if you want to go there. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Jesus is talking to his disciples about the day when he will come in his second advent. In Matthew 16, verse 27, it says this: "For the Son of Man is going to come in what? In the glory of the Father." This word glory literally means radiance. It means brilliance. When he comes, the Shekinah glory of God will alert the world. The dark, dingy world will see the light of the world. Amen? And everyone will see him. That's the sign of his coming. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. First he must suffer. He is referring to the cross which he is about to go to in only a couple of days' time. You see, Israel was offered the kingdom. They rejected it, didn't they? They handed him over to the Gentiles. In the Jewish mindset, the age that they were in ended and the messianic age was meant to start. That's what they thought would happen. And Jesus, that would have been what happened if they had accepted the kingdom when he offered it to them. But you can read it in the back half in Matthew 12. They rejected the kingdom. And now he was presenting himself as the Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world. The thing that the Jewish people didn't anticipate, the saints before them, was this period that we are in right now. It is known the Age of Grace. He first must suffer many things. In verse 26, he now likens the time of that second advent when he comes to the days of Noah. He says, just as it happened in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, many of us are probably pretty familiar with the story of Noah. But how about we go there? Genesis chapter 6. Let's go there together. Bit of context, this is six chapters since the creation of the world. Only six chapters. Let's see what's happened to the world in verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of thought in his heart was only evil continually. This is only six chapters from creation, and this is where man has gotten to. And in fact, it's only three chapters since the fall of man. So catastrophic is the effects of sin that the world is evil. They are thinking evil in their heart continually. And God's response to this, his only just, righteous response to man's evilness is found in verse 7. It says, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animal to creeping things to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I had made them. I'm sorry that I had made them. Quite literally, the floodgates of God's judgment is going to come upon man. But there's one man. There's one man in his family who is obedient to God. And it says in verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace. God's unmerited favor. Noah found grace. Noah didn't deserve God's grace. Noah was a sinner. But Noah had a heart for God, and he was obedient to God, and he wanted to walk with God. So God turned around and said to Noah, hey, Noah, I need you to do me something. I need you to build an ark because it's going to rain. And Noah said, okay, God, whatever you want. But one thing, what's an ark and what's rain? They had no idea what those things were because it had never rained before. But faithfully for 120 years, he built that ark until the day when God said, Noah, it's time to get in the boat. Time for you and the animals and the people to get in the boat. And then the Lord closed the door. The Lord closed the door. This ark represents the refuge and strength of God and the provision of God to save Noah and his family. And if you weren't in that ark, you're on the outside, well, then the judgment was coming. And he says in Luke 13, he says, just as it happened in the days of Noah, so will it be just before I return in the time, those end time tribulation times. He says, in the times of Noah, they were eating and they were drinking. They were marrying and being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. The emphasis of this passage is that the people in Noah's time were doing everyday normal activities. They were eating, they were drinking, they were being given in marriage. If you knew that judgment was coming, would you be doing normal things? No, you would be prepared for it. They were not prepared. They were careless. They were unrepentant. And it wasn't because they weren't given opportunities, because every single day as Noah built that ark, he preached to them repentance. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter tells us that Noah preached righteousness, but the people didn't take it seriously. They thought, crazy old Noah, what's this thing about rain? He's building an ark for rain. They were unrepentant. And when judgment came, they were destroyed. I like how Jesus actually describes it in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, in this exact same section on the Olivet Discourse, in verse 39 it says, and they did not understand the flood came until the flood came and took them all away. This word took away, it means into judgment. It has judicial implication to it. Noah was left behind to repopulate the earth. Noah and his family. But those that were unrepentant were taken into judgment. And so too will be the time when Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation period. They will be doing every day normal activities, just like the people in the times of Noah. They will be doing every day normal activities because they are unrepentant and they are unprepared. And it won't be like they won't get opportunity, because people will be preaching the gospel. In fact, 144,000 Jews will be preaching the gospel. And people will be unprepared and unrepentant, and they will be taken into judgment. And Jesus used this parable in verse 34 to explain that. Read along with me here. It says, I tell you, on that night there will be two in a bed. One will be taken and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. The one who is taken into judgment. And the one that is left behind, Israel, repentant Israel, and any Gentile that's come to know Christ in this period of time will be left to enter into the kingdom with Christ. The problem is the church has taken this passage and gone, this is about the rapture of the church. This has nothing to do with the rapture of the church. The context is Israel in the tribulation time. The context is the tribulation time. It's not to do with the church. The church has been removed at this point. If you want to apply this to you, then go ahead, apply that to you. I'm not going to be there. I'm going up. I'm going with the rapture. And the disciples ask Jesus in verse 37, where are they taken, Lord? Where, Lord? And he says, where the body is, or better translation, where the corpse is, there the vultures will be gathered. The people, God's enemies, enemies of Israel, worshippers of the Antichrist, they are taken into judgment. They will die. And quite literally, the vultures will feed off their flesh. You can read about that in Revelation 19. It's known as the supper of God. Not to be confused with the marriage supper of the Lamb. You want to be there for that. You don't want to be the meal, which is the God's supper. That is where they're taken at the end of this time. And we can read that and think, well, Elise, if this has nothing to do with the church, why do I care? Why do I care? I'm not going to be there. But the reality is, this judgment is what is going to happen to friends, family, work colleagues, neighbours of yours that have heard you bring a defence for the hope that you have and have rejected it. This is their future. They will be taken into judgment. There's no second chances when you enter into the tribulation time. If you have had an opportunity to receive the gospel here and you reject it, there is no second chances in the tribulation. You have sealed your fate. And this will be what happened to you. And Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he tells us all about this. Those that reject grace now in this period of grace. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 10, he says, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth as to be saved. He's talking about the people that did not respond to the truth in the time of the church age. And he says, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they may be judged. Those that reject Christ now, who have heard enough to make a decision for Jesus, but reject him now, when the church has been raptured, they will be deceived in the tribulation period. They will be deceived and they will not respond to the gospel message that will be preached. Never before has the Great Commission seemed so urgent, has it? This will happen to people. If the rapture happens today, this will happen to people you know. If they have heard you preach the gospel to them, it has never become more important to the preaching of the Great Commission to go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But let me get personal for a moment. That's not like me to get personal. Is this your fate? Is this your faith? We heard Vanessa and Rosemary bring those testimonies. And I just love hearing testimonies. I love hearing the moment where people respond to the message that they are sinners and that they need to be forgiven of their sin. And the only way to do that is to call upon the name of the Lord. It is as easy as that. Confess your sins. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he rose from the grave, and you will be saved. That is all it takes. And if you can generally sit here and think, yeah, I've done that. I remember the day where I confessed my sin, where I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I asked for him to forgive me. If you've done that, then great. This is not what's happening to you. But if you can sit there and genuinely think, I actually don't remember the moment I did that. I don't remember in my head the moment where I confessed my sin and asked for forgiveness. If you have not done that, doesn't matter how much you know about God, if you have not done that, this is your fate. To be taken into judgment. Are you confident that that's not your fate? Sue is, that's great. I am, because I know my testimony. I know the moment I came to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And I love sharing that with people. But if you're not confident, we're just going to listen to a song right now. It's a song that's called Jesus Paid It All. He has paid the price for you. He has paid the price of God's righteous judgment. You don't need to pay it, so don't. Listen to the song, meditate on those lyrics. And if you are someone that just thinks, I'm not sure if I'm actually saved, don't let another moment go. Because if the rapture happens tonight, you won't be there. If that's you, come and see me at the end of the message and we can change that today.